Hi, everybody. This is Pam, coming to you from Women Who Stutter Our Stories, the podcast that is directly attached to the blog Make Room for the Stuttering, which you can find at www.stutterrockstar.wordpress.com. Only one dot there. And you can also find the podcast freely downloadable on iTunes. Today, I have a special guest. I met this person through the NSA, and we are also Facebook friends. And I'd like to welcome Vicky. Hi, Vicky.
Hi, Pam.
Can you introduce yourself to us?
Okay. My name is Vicky or Victoria Benson Shutter, and the reason I put in the Benson was because I've been a member of the NSA and the NSP before it, a lot longer than I've been married, and so some people probably still remember me as Vicky Benson. And wouldn't you know that when I finally get married, I marry a man whose name rhymes with stutter?
Oh my gosh, I didn't realize that. That is too funny. Have you ever had trouble saying the married last name?
It's actually more difficult for me to say than Benson was.
Mm-hmm.
Or is.
Wow. So your married last name rhymes with stutter. That's that's a hoot. Has anybody ever pointed that out to you?
I think the first person who pointed that out to me was John Albach himself.
Oh, John from Friends.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was that like the first time he mentioned that? Was that kind of weird or?
I've been friends with John for years. I just laughed and was like, oh yeah, you're right, bummer.
Oh gosh, so it sounds like you've been involved in stuttering self-help for quite a while.
In fact, the conference that I'll be going to in a few weeks in Cleveland will be my 25th consecutive conference.
Oh my goodness, that's got to be a record. What? Wow. Why do you keep going?
Because it's fun.
Do you still get something out of the self-help phenomena?
Oh, sure. Always. Sometimes what I get is that I'm doing what I need to do.
Mm-hmm. Which is what?
Reach out to other people who stutter.
Mm. Yeah, that's one of the things that I've learned, and I have not been involved with the self-help movement as long as you have. I've only been involved for four years. But that's one of the things that I learned real quick, that it's really important to pay it forward and to try.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, try to reach out to other people who stutter and try to help them with what helped us. And I know that's definitely what keeps me coming back. That real satisfied feeling, you know, of you know, passing it along and knowing that somebody else is gonna feel as good about being involved in the stuttering community as I have.
One of the most amazing parts about going to the conferences for all these years is that I've seen kids grow up in essay and you know. On year, the A are these shy little kids, and then just a few years later, they are the strong, confident individuals that are about to go off to college, or who have already graduated from college and they're about to start their professional lives, and it's just great to see that. The last conference that was in Cleveland was a conference that I brought my mother to.
Oh, wow.
And so I ask her, what she thought at it, and her first comment was, if only there had been something like this when you were a little girl.
Hmm. You think she was referring to just the support and the fact that people who stutter are just able to be around other people who stutter?
I was very lonely when I was a little girl, and I know she realized that, and it made her sad.
Were you lonely because of the stuttering, do you think?
Yeah.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
Oh yeah, I've got one brother and two sisters, and I was close to them and played with them a lot, but I know it's not the same as having lots of buddies your own age and stuff.
Yeah.
And it and I was with drawn at as a child, but once I got to be an adult, I was able to get over it in a large part, and now I think most people consider me a pretty outgoing person.
Do you consider yourself that, pretty outgoing?
I like to meet new people and talk to new people. I actually enjoy talking to strangers.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday I had to go to one of those clinics for minor medical emergencies, and I enjoy to talking to the people there. Talking, joking around and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's really cool, because I've actually found that a lot of people who stutter tend to be the opposite. They tend to take a back seat or shy away from initiating conversation because they're afraid of the reaction they're going to get, or you know, they feel that the listener's not going to be patient enough with them or going to roll their eyes at them or whatever. So actually it's kind of refreshing to hear you describe just the opposite, that you love it. Now, do you initiate the conversation, or do you wait for the other person to start and then you just jump in?
Oh, I'll initiate it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if I happen to think of a smart ass crack that I would like to make or something like that.
Give me an example. You're so funny.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, the woman at the clinic ask me my age, and I told her 57, and then she asked me if I was still having periods, and I just rolled my eyes and said, "Oh, please."
Oh, she must have really appreciated that one.
I told her the one good thing about getting old is no more tampons, no more tampons.
You said that to her?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. That is too Vicky.
all three of the women who worked there were very young, but I didn't care. It was a cat scratch. It wasn't a brain tumor. It's not like I needed a surgeon or something.
Now, why did you mention that they were young? Like, if it had been something more serious, you might have been concerned that they were too young to handle it.
There wasn't a full-fledged doctor there.
Oh, I see.
The woman who I guess what you would say the highest ranking woman there, or person there, was a physician's assistant.
Okay. Gotcha. So how did you get this cat scratch? Was it your own cat?
Oh, that's a very long story.
Okay.
The cat had gotten out, and we had been looking for him for several days, and then Friday night we were coming home from the theater, and we saw him, and so I jumped out of the car and took out after him, wearing a cocktail dress and heels, and also kind of gypsy.
No, and, you.
And, and so I was down there on the ground in my cocktail dress doing my cat whisperer thing, and then I finally thought I had him calmed down enough to pick up, so I picked him up, and at first he was okay, but then the closer we got to our yard, which was where a neighbor cat had been spraying and tormenting him, poor Cuss just totally freaked out and scratched the crap out of my little left hand.
Oh no.
By the time I woke up the next morning, it had swollen up to where it looked like a red oven mitt. So even though I just absolutely despise going to the doctor, I was like, this is not good. I probably need to have this a human hand is just not supposed to look like this. So I probably better get someone to look at it and give me antibiotics, and so they did, plus a tetanus shot.
Wow, what an adventure. What became of the cocktail dress?
Oh, the cocktail dress is waiting to be taken to the cleaners.
All in the name of loving your cat, huh?
Uh-huh.
Well, thank you for sharing that story. That's funny. You do have a good sense of humor. I imagine that sense of humor has come in handy for you as you've managed your stuttering over the years. Yes?
I think a sense of humor is one of the most important things, because you, if you take things too seriously, you're going to you are going to end up either insane or awfully bitter, and I don't want to be either one of those. Insane is okay if you are fun insane, rather than mean and nasty insane.
Oh my goodness! Well, somehow I think that you would be the fun insane type, but I do get what you're saying. But how do you encourage a young person that's just coming up and having dealt with stuttering and is going like into, you know, the workforce for the first time? How do you encourage young people who do view their stuttering as, you know, maybe something that holds them back or something that they hate having, how do you encourage them to not take it so seriously?
Well, that the thing is, no one takes it as seriously as we do. One of the most important realizations that ever came to me was when I used to be so self-conscious and always worried about what people thought of me, and then one day it hit me. Most people don't give a crap. I know that they're. I was worried about what people think of me, but the truth of the matter is, most of the time they don't. They don't care. They don't care what I do or how I talk they care about their jobs and their families and their lives and they are going to do this again. They don't care about me. And if the truth be told, there's no reason that I should really care about them. I mean, you can care about them in the general sense, like all human beings. I know, like, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. But as far as really worrying about what people think of you, they don't. They don't care. So that realization gives you a tremendous amount of freedom, because you're like, okay, so if they don't really care and they are not watching me 24/7, as I was under the impression that they were, then that means that I can just be myself and do whatever the heck I want to.
Wow. You know, what you just said in such a humorous, light-hearted way, you know, you're right. That's the crux of the matter. I think that's what young people, all people actually who stutter, need to realize.
That realization was one of the biggest epiphanies of my life.
When did it come?
Let's see, when was that? I think it wasn't until I was in my 30s.
Oh, all right. So you thought a little bit like maybe, you know, like some other people do, like I did for a long time, like you even said it. I always thought about, oh my God, what are they going to think? Or I must be coming off so stupid to other people. And I always spent just a ridiculous amount of time obsessing about, you know, who I was and what I was going to say and how people were going to say it. And I wish I'd come to that, you know, realization far sooner, because I sure would have saved a lot of, you know, mental anguish going through all that crap.
But that's true.
Yeah, but that's good. I mean, it just seems like, you know, being your own person, having a sense of humor, being able to not take yourself so seriously really does work.
But it's not just it's not just not taking yourself so seriously. It's also not taking other people. So, absolutely devastated when they stutter and someone smiles or laughs and one thing that one thing that I have come to realize is if you get so upset about that kind of stuff, the person that it's gonna hurt most is you. Most people are not really bad people. They are very few people will actually be trying to hurt you. They just don't understand. They don't know what the hell you're doing. and to obsess on that is to channel a heck of a lot of your energy into something very negative. When that kind of thing happens, if you have an opportunity to educate them, then go ahead and take it, but don't force it. You know, if if the opportunity is there to take it, but if it's not there, just let it roll right off your back.
That's good advice. That's real good advice. I suspect maybe easier said than done for some people, but for
you know, it's especially young people. I know some young people to take everything so seriously and get so bent out of shape out of so many things and I know that's true because that's what I did when I was young. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this has happened to me. This is the worst thing in the whole world.
Hey Vicky, have you ever taken acting lessons?
but I've been involved with the theater for about 35 years.
You're kidding me. Wow. I was just sitting here thinking, you've got such a flair for the dramatic, and I was only half kidding when I asked that, but
I don't act.
Okay.
When I first got involved with them, I ran lights, and the years have passed, and now I'm on their board of directors.
Oh wow, that's amazing.
I really enjoy being connected to them because just being involved with the theater company I helps to feed my love of language.
Wow, isn't that beautiful? Do you speak more than one language by any chance?
I suppose how I ought to have phrased it was my love of the English language.
Okay. Have you ever sang? Have you ever done any singing?
Well, I sing all the time around the house and in church and
No, I asked that because a couple times you broke into song. A couple of your responses, which I just thought was so neat. That
sometimes it's especially when someone says something that makes me think of a song.
Well, it doesn't seem to me like you have a self-conscious bone in your body anymore.
Well, let's see. I'm trying to think of something that I am self-conscious about. I'm self-conscious about the fact that I'm eating too much and my butt's getting so big.
Somehow I think that's a universal theme with women. Now, speaking of women, do you think that your stuttering has impacted you being a woman in any way? I mean, have you ever felt that you were less of a woman because of your stuttering?
There is a cat who just absolutely insisted that he should be allowed to come in here. Oh, but anyway, I don't know if I ever thought of it exactly that way. I know that that I never was exactly popular with the guys. I was 25 years old when I had my first boyfriend. It was weird though, because I absolutely refused to say that the reason that guys didn't like me was because of my stuttering. I would always say guys didn't like me because I'm ugly.
Oh, jeez.
Really? Isn't it strange? That I was more willing to blame it on my looks than on my speech. I wonder why I did that. I don't even know myself.
I have no idea. That's certainly some food for thought worth pondering, perhaps, because I betcha there's some young women out there who stutter, who believe that it's their stuttering that keeps them from either initiating or having relationships with the opposite sex. That's very interesting. Just real quick, and then we probably need to wind down. How did you meet your husband? And did stuttering come into play there?
I met him in church.
Okay.
I had just broken up with this guy who I had thought was Easter, right? But that fell apart. So I moved to an apartment in a different part of town, and I was really, really suppressed. And so the way I dealt with my depression was to get myself involved in as many things with as many activities as possible. So a few blocks away from where I lived, there was a Methodist church that had a very active singles group. Ooh. That'll be nice because I can meet some new friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started going there and was where I met Steve and we got to be friends and I would see him when we did stuff with the rest of the group, and and I started doing things just us, One day he told me that he wouldn't mind being married to me.
Okay.
But in the meantime, I was throwing myself into all of these activities and all.
Right.
Well, I was having more fun and more dates than I had ever had in my life. And I told him that I would have to think about it, and he told me to take as long as I needed.
Wait. Is that how he proposed? Just by saying, well, I wouldn't mind being married to you?
Uh-huh.
That's how he proposed?
Uh-huh.
There was no romantic, get down on his knee, will you marry me?
Hey, you haven't heard the rest of the story.
Okay.
A few weeks later, he told me that he had to go to Australia for a conference. But that after the conference was over, he wanted to go to Sydney, and have a little vacation. And he asked me if I would like to meet him there.
Oh.
meet him in Sydney, Australia.
Oh my goodness.
And I did.
Oh.
And
did he pay for it?
Yep.
Okay.
And so it was just us there together. There weren't all the distractions and sidetracking things that there were in Houston. So during the course of that week, I came to the realization, girl, if you let this man get away, you are insane. And I think it was our next to the last day there, I said, remember when you asked me to marry you? And he said, yes. And I said, do you still feel that way? And he said, yes. And I said, well, then let's go look for a ring tomorrow. And the diamond ring that's on my finger right now, came from a little jewelry store in the Queen Victoria Building in Sydney, Australia.
Oh my gosh, what a story! Wow, that is such a story. Well, thank you so much for sharing that and just for being so honest and just being you. I really appreciate that we had this opportunity to take this time today. Wow, you're really inspirational just by being yourself. That's really cool.
I think it's really good that you're doing that series.
Well, thank you. I think it's important that, you know, women who are in the minority of people who stutter, you know, I think sometimes women do feel I isolated and alone, and I think that this can provide something to somebody out there that might listen for them to realize I'm not alone, and wow, there's other women who sound like me, and I think we can make a difference by just talking and let other people hear it. So I'm hoping that this is, you know, going to help somebody out there, and it helps me by talking to other women who stutter. It's kind of a support thing for me as well. So again, I thank you so much for joining me today. You were great.
And thank you for helping me enter into the 21st century.
No problem. This has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.